You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I had an amazing conversation with Morgan Lander and SJ Jones about Kitty Pig. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers!
Greetings to all my little quarantine goats out there. It's your host, Lurk, and thanks for checking out this episode of the Van Flip Podcast. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, well, hey, hello to you. We appreciate you stopping by. If you've been here before, welcome back. We greatly appreciate your return visit. There are a few ways you can help support the Van Flip Podcast, and one of them is if you're listening to us on a platform that you can give us a rating, just go ahead and give us a five-star thumbs up or whatever the highest thing is that you can. It definitely helps us out in the algorithm of the podcast world. We here at the podcast started a Twitter account to better interact with you all directly. So go follow us at Van Flip Podcast. Tweet us what you think of the show or who our next guest should be. If you prefer to watch the podcast episodes instead of listening to them, all of our episodes are available on the Lambgoat YouTube channel. So go ahead and head over there to subscribe and hit the bell to make sure you're notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to check out lambgoat.com to stay up to date on news, releases, and announcements from around the hardcore, metal, and heavy music world. Follow Lambgoat on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and follow Lambgoat on both Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. And as always, I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Dylan and Lachlan. Thanks for your continued support. We greatly appreciate it. If you yourself would like to become a Patreon supporter, not only do you help improve and grow the show, but you get early access to the episodes. You also get access to the live concerts before they are released. You also get an invite to the private Discord chat, Lambgoat swag, and other bonus content. We will even shout you out on the show for as long as you are a supporter. Visit patreon.com/fanflip for more info.
I feel this. Oh yeah, this is Oh no, what the Oh no, no, no!
Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Van Flip Podcast. I hope you're taking your quarantining and self-isolating seriously. This is the first of our quarantine streams, technically a podcast version of our quarantine streams. So today we are lucky enough to have Chris Brown, lead singer slash guitar player for the band Trapped. You all may know them from their hit song Headstrong, as well as many other albums they've had released in the last 20 years or so, 20 plus years, I should say, that you guys have been a band. But most recently, you guys have got into a little Twitter beef, Twitter war with Warped Tour Twitter or Metalcore Twitter, if you want to call it. But we'll get into that shortly.
Call it Bernie Bro Twitter.
Bernie Bro Twitter. If you want to, Chris, just kind of go ahead and give us a, you know, like a little backstory on you as well as the band Trapped.
Yeah, started the band. I was 16. It was August 97 that summer. And then I just, you know, junior and senior years, we built up a little following and played at local clubs and opened up Papa Roach from there. Our juniors in high school, and then went to UC Santa Barbara. I was doing mechanical engineering there and then 2 years into it, or like a year and a half into it, we were doing demos with like Jim Wart, who did the Incubus Science record, and we were getting closer and closer to that. And then, you know, at one point decided we just got to move to LA and just do it for, put our all into it. You know what I mean? And then we got signed within like 9 months of deciding we were going to drop out of college and go for it for real. And we actually did our last showcase on 9/11, 9/11 2001.
Wow.
It was such a weird, bitter day. You know, I mean, it was bittersweet, you know, because we got our record deal from Warner Brothers, but at the same time, you couldn't really celebrate. You know?
Right, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and then the rest is kind of history. You know, we had a few big songs on that record. Obviously, Headstrong was biggest alternative, most spun alternative rock song of the last decade. So a lot of people know it. So it's been giving us a great career, and we're really proud of it. Proud of the career that we've been able to build. You know? The last night was the culmination of all this, 3 weeks of social media. You know, I did it on Facebook too. I mean, what I'm doing on Twitter, Twitter is like a different format, but I'm just basically just looking at all the bands that bash Trump, even like a band like Highly Suspect that would be in our genre, just bashing them left and right on Facebook, wherever they want, on social media. No pushback, nothing. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's expected. Even if people don't like what the band's saying, they're still going to go to the shows and watch, listen to music and this and that. But for some reason, if anyone's supporting Trump, Kid Rock, or whatever, they're the devil, And I got sick of that, People ask me, why do you use the Trump account? And it's like, it's just to stand up for the country's president in a time that's, very scary for a lot of people. And I think he's doing a great job, and his approval ratings are the highest of his presidency and approval rating of the job he's doing on this virus. So I'm just like, I'm going to support him. I don't care if I get backlash. And that's how basically the whole thing started. And then, metal bands like Trivium want to make fun of Trapped. And after the sixth tweet, I'm like, asked my fans, why do you think the bass player of Trivium keeps tweeting about Trapped? I don't, in the thinly veiled, try to make fun of the stuff I was saying about white privilege does not exist kind of stuff. And I say that, I've been saying that since 2015, because I grew up watching my mom's side of the family, Mexicans that came to the United States in the 50s, do great for themselves and overcome adversity and make a better life for their children and generations after them. And I'm not going to acknowledge that stuff. I had an interview with Jack Wagner from Yeah, But Still podcast, and I was just saying that it's just, I can totally say, yeah, there is adversity for some groups of people. They haven't been here building wealth for 400 years, and some of them were slaves, and they couldn't build wealth at all because they weren't free and only got that, 150 years ago, wherever it is. But talking about it just leads just like circles. We had the 1965 era, we had the civil rights era, changed the Constitution. We knew, we were like, this, that was a bad time in our life. We have to change the actual wording in the Constitution, add amendments, all the stuff, and that shouldn't be discounted. That should be that's what should be done. And then right now we're over 50 years later from there, in the early 2000s, the 2010 area, nobody was talking about this racism stuff on the media. And now all of a sudden 2014 comes and it's like, oh, the cop stuff. It's like almost like engineered narratives that just pop up when you want to divide people, and it works.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But so I just was, bands making fun of me because of my political views or stuff I tweet on or talk about on Facebook or whatever. And me going, why would they do that? And then it's, it snowballed from there. And then people coming and talking to me like, oh, you just have one song or whatever, and I'm like, well, what have you done? You can't make fun of your local janitor's or your local middle school janitor's career. He's done more than you, so stop. I'm just not gonna let someone get away with trying to bring me down. It's just like, I'm gonna say no, my band's doing great and we're fortunate and we're lucky, but I'm not gonna let anyone say false things about the band. So, and that's what I was doing, a lot of that. And then bands go in there and challenge me after I'm challenging other people about it. And, it's just a general dislike of the things I was saying from the beginning. So anytime these other bands want to jump in give me a few, right hooks, if they can get a few jabs in there, they're going to try. And I shouldn't be responding to everybody, but I just have that personality where, I'm probably more sensitive than the average guy, and it's probably why I'm a singer in a band and write music. And, Headstrong's kind of the way I've always lived my life, I wrote a song about it. So it's just I don't think anybody should be that surprised. And I think people who like Headstrong are kind of like more on the Trump side anyways, you know? So, yeah. I mean, that's what I've seen. And like last night we did this live stream, acoustic, just me and my guitar player. He came and he's also a drummer, and it was huge. I mean, it reached like 130,000 people and it hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
Yeah. I saw it had like, when I checked, it was 55,000 plays. I
if
think.
It's 55,000 views, the people were watching it and vibing on it. And the comments are like 95% so positive. They're so thankful, you know, so appreciative of, and I'm like, this is what we do. This is, we play live. It's no skin off my back, you know? And it was just so cool to see that the support, even though I've said some stuff and spoke my mind and probably one of the few artists in the entire industry that supports the president, you know, is really cool. I mean, you know, to see all the likes and loves and just, you know, 100, you know, trolls. And I just want to say to them, you failed miserably in trying to, you know, crash that acoustic Facebook live thing that I was promoting all week, you know. And
I did see that there was like a little movement, I guess, from that parody account.
But they failed miserably. It just makes me feel awesome. You know, it really does. Like this, like people are like, you're ruining your career. It's like, you guys are helping. Trapped. You completely helping the band.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything like there's no bad press, you know. There's no bad publicity.
Yeah, it's not. And then especially if what you're I'm it's a principle thing. It's like, okay, everybody in Green Day and Pearl Jam, everybody gets to rip on Trump, any, you know, Slipknot, Corey Taylor, they can say whatever they want and no one pushes back. Well, I'm gonna do the opposite. And I've got a lot of shit for it, but last night was just vindication.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It's like the best feeling. We nailed it, and the tens of thousands of people who watched it and appreciated it, and all the people that commented on it. And we had like over 8,000 comments and, that were, and like I said, 95% positive as I've ever seen, and it's just feels good.
Well, that's good. Awesome. Yeah, Alex definitely told me to check it out this morning, and that's when I noticed it. So, I mean, it could be more than the amount of plays that I just said. I haven't checked it since this morning.
Yeah, I mean, so. it reaches, because even if someone comments, like all their friends see that comment. So it doesn't necessarily mean that 130,000 stopped what they were doing and then watched it, but they saw a comment for it.
It popped up on their feed or something.
But 55,000 people decided, I'm going to be a part of that. And that's amazing. It's so cool.
That's cool.
And just in America, really, because I mean, the time, it wouldn't be, you know, many people from Europe or Australia. Maybe Australia is like their morning.
Late night stuff. Yeah. Late night, early morning.
It was their breakfast time.
You guys are still based in California, correct?
No. Our bass player is still in Orange County. I'm in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Since 2016. And, our guitar player and drummer are in Nashville.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, like, is it normal for, because you named a bunch of bands that are, for the most part, I don't want to say like anti-Trump, but just maybe like anti-establishment or anti, like, whatever. Do you find
I don't think they're very anti-establishment. I mean, Biden, you're pro-establishment.
That's true.
Know? Trump took over the Republican establishment. It's now his. So, like, Bernie was supposed to do that for the left, but he failed. He totally bowed down to Biden. The guy he's been fighting against forever, and the things that Biden's done with, like, bankruptcy bills and stuff that are so against what Bernie thought his whole career, and now he's going to just bow down. I thought they were going to try a little harder.
I don't know if he's bowing down necessarily. I know that he's...
He's not fighting him.
I think the DNC is just pushing Biden to pushing into the public and everything like that.
I just think, Bernie, like, are you guys cool with this establishment thing, with the DNC just completely taking away any democracy, or do you hate it and you want to stand up against it? You know, I would stand up against it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely,
Bernie Bros.
I definitely don't think that, I mean, there's a bunch going on in the political realm in general that's kind of suspect.
Yeah.
That we could go on forever about.
But, crazy time right now, man. This virus thing is too weird.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I mean, and you were saying some things about, I don't want to like say like conspiracy type stuff, but you know, manufactured pandemic or fear and, stuff like that is a real thing.
There was a freaking biological lab like 20 miles away from where this thing started. You know, it's just that coincidence is too weird. And they and the 2004 SARS thing escaped from a bio lab in China. So it's not like it's not happened before.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. But it is very just strange. We'll just call it strange altogether.
Very
yeah.
very strange for sure.
So how is the quarantine and the coronavirus COVID-19? How is that like affecting you guys' day to day as far as?
It's just like as this was developing, like I, on Facebook, you know, I was the exact rescue package that they have out with their 1200 a person for under 75,000. I said it needs to be 2,000 or 3,000, but they're probably going to do multiple rounds of this. So, on Facebook, like March 12th or 13th or that weekend where we had started having shows shut down, I was like, all right, we're going to do a shutdown. People are going to need cash because they can't work, you know? So, and then how the hell are you going to get that into their hand? This is like sending a check. It's going to take forever to just send checks. You know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but you know, basically you have to pay people to stay home. That's the deal. So, you know, $3,000 of a family, like, you know, I said something like that, maybe even $5,000 a family, you know, which is probably what it'll work out to. And it's amazing that we have the ability to print money and do that and still have the rest of the world believe in the dollar. We all should feel very fortunate that we can print $2 trillion and do stuff with it and then and still have Europeans and Chinese people and the rest of the world going, oh, I still want to have dollars because I believe in the dollar. That's pretty fortunate. I don't think this has ever happened in civilization where you could just print wealth and give it to people and they can use it for food and this and that and then shut down an economy so people don't have to see each other or be around each other. It's just, that is so Twilight Zone.
That's my biggest fear. I think the economy would be my biggest fear. I'm not really scared of getting sick myself. I mean, obviously that's not something that, you know, I mean, I could definitely get sick, but that's not my big fear. My big fear would be like the economy.
I tweeted out this guy Stephen Smith. He's this doctor in New Jersey, and he's got this hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin is a antibiotic, and that treatment, he's treated over 70 people with that, a lot of old people too, and not one person even had to go on a ventilator.
That's good.
So if that is, and it's work, and there's been studies in Europe that have been using it in Europe here and there. So plenty of studies that work. And with this guy, he's just like, this is a game changer and the beginning of the end, because now we have a treatment where we don't have to have people like JC suffocating on their pneumonia and, you know, all the stuff going on. They can take this combination, you know, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. It's so hard to say these things, but those two things. And it works great, and not one patient has died, and not one patient had to go on a ventilator. Because that's the biggest thing, is you only have so many ventilators, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, having a treatment right now, I think, is going to enable us to open up the economy in a reasonable, like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks instead of 3 months or 5 months. Because, man, more than a month, I think you're in some – you're just the inner cities where people
You're getting in some trouble there.
They have no money. Like, what? Not even the drug dealers are going to be able to make money.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough time. Yeah, the longer it goes, the more crazy things we'll get. Obviously,
Social unrest. So yeah, I mean, we really have to make sure that the response isn't worse than the virus itself. You know, it's like we save a million lives or save 800,000 lives, but then you know, what do you do to the other 200-300 million lives? You know, and the mental. I mean, I can't imagine families right now trying to homeschool their kids. And like in Ohio, they shut down, or at least around here, Cincinnati, they shut down all the alcohol store, like, you know, places to sell hard liquor.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that, I mean, they're like domestic violence is going up and because people are now having to sit with each other for the first time in probably a long time.
Right. Yeah. Nonstop all day, every day. Something they were, there was a joke article going around at least my area of the world in Florida here that they were going to stop selling liquor as well, and people were losing their mind. I kind of assumed that they would, I mean, social lubricant, you know what I mean? That's what alcohol is for the most part. I would assume that they would let that continue as long as they could, because I think once you stop, it's going to be more of an issue, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I just know that they, like, we had to go to Kroger, you know, the grocery store, and get, like, you know, this, like, it's this vodka that's like 42 proof or something, 42 proof instead of 80 proof, you know? So it's like watered down vodka.
Yeah, you got twice as many shots.
Horrible. Yeah. So that basically that's what you got, but you definitely get less hammered on it.
Yeah. So let's steer this back toward the big old Twitter beef. So you basically just started like you were saying, defending the president, because I mean, obviously a lot of people definitely use their social media to go after the president.
Yeah.
And you know, that is what it is, but, you kind of popped on the radar. I mean, I saw it on the radar, on my Twitter account, when you started getting into it with, Power Trip. But you had gotten into it a couple other bands. You said it started with Trivium. Is that where it started, or?
The Power Trip guy just came out of nowhere and was like, "We'll outsell you at a show," and I was like, "Okay, let's do a charity event, or you're a pussy." And then I thought he was like, "Let's do charity boxing." I was like, "Okay, let's do it." Like, but we don't need gloves or anything, you know?
Just
no gloves. Let's do it anytime. And he's like, "I'm just," it's like. I'm like, "You're acting like a dude in a boy band who's challenging someone to a dance off. That's what you sound like to me. You know? It's like, dude, let's do our shows and we'll see who can rock harder or whatever. You know, it's like, whatever. Like, we're going to go back on tour. We can compare the numbers as we do shows. Like, anytime you want. I don't care. Dude. Whatever, bro." And, just the guy's obsessed, and like, I don't know if it's, he's trying to make it, get notoriety off of it or whatever, or turn his 5,000 Twitter followers into more. I don't know, but just like tweeting at me all the time every day. And I'm just like, "Are you done? Are we like anything more? If I see you around, we can hang out. We can say what's up." And it probably won't be very friendly, but, until then, you know, I don't care about you or your band. So he's like, "I want you to, make a video of you trying to scream this song." And I was like, "I don't scream for entire songs, dude. I sing. I don't really scream much at all." And I'm like, I'm not into that, like, just screaming the whole time, you know, like I need some melody in the singer's voice. And, it's just so funny just trying to challenge me to a scream off. I'm like, "God, dude."
It's also strange because you guys are both different styled music, you know what I mean?
It's like, it's apples and oranges. People. We just did an acoustic thing last night. It was awesome. All our songs acoustic, and it totally translates. We've done that kind of show a bunch, you know, like me and my drummer, who's now the guitar player, you know, going out there, just the two of us, me and acoustic guitar singing, playing acoustic guitar, him on the cajon. It's like a bongo percussion type thing. And we did that all through 2018. It was awesome. Can't wait to do it again. But yeah, doing that was just awesome. It was just like such a vindication, like I said before. Just, you know, you got haters who, you know, they're really, you know, they really hate Trump. I get it. You know, they hate Trump, and it's like they're like, "How dare you say anything good about him?" You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, he's the president. He's been president for almost 4 years now. So, you know, and especially at a time like now, it'd be nice for the country to unite in one over something. You know?
Right. Yeah. One thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be him, but it'd be nice if we could get there. Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm not, I'm not like not a fan, but I'm not a fan. It's just one of those things where it doesn't affect my life, like on a day to day basis. I mean, it does affect my life, but it's something that like, I don't see, you know, where everyone goes. Like, I never really got like, how everyone's like, "Fuck Bush and fuck this and fuck that," and everyone's just fuck the president all the time. I get that, but I mean, also it's a little like, I don't understand a lot of the hatred toward. I guess I do understand it. It's just like he's the one that the president, not Trump, but the president is where everything would fall on. So I would see the, you know, people will hate and vent their frustration and vent all that stuff and whatnot. Yeah. But I think also Trump is a different kind of machine with it where he can actually just take to Twitter or take to social media or on camera and just he says what he wants, says what he does.
Yeah, you know, I think that people hate that. Like we have a code in society that you can't just say whatever you want and you can't just do this and you can't just do that. And Trump's like, the hell I can't.
Yeah, I think that's what catches people off.
That's his attitude, and people hate that attitude. And so, but that attitude is what everybody should have. You know, the hell I can't. You can say whatever you want, you know, as long as it's not hurting someone or directly inciting violence or destruction of property, then you're good. You can say it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we have to just keep that mentality where it's not like cancel culture as soon as you say something that, you know, is taboo. Because it's unbelievable how many people appreciate me standing up for Trump. So many more appreciate it as far as our fans go than don't. And whenever I post something that's on Facebook, you know, the 200 people share it. Like, can you believe this guy? And they get all their, you know, Bernie bro, you know, buddies to jump in. And then they have the audacity to go, you talk badly to your fans. And I'm like, those are not our fans, dude. Those are not fans. I know when someone's a fan of the band and when they're not. And, I know when someone's just coming just to talk shit. And I'm gonna, you know, give you the attention that you crave. You know, I care. I care about you.
Do you think that, do you think most of the online criticism that you've received in the last couple of weeks is mainly just, especially on Twitter, is mainly just something that would be like a badge of honor for that person to be like, oh, you know, Chris or Trap responded to me and I'll retweet this. And it's kind of like a troll.
Yeah. Yeah. They got you.
They got under your skin and they, you know,
they consider getting blocked by me like the greatest thing ever. And to me, it's just like, I just don't want to see you in my notifications. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't care. It's like, I'm not really that like hurt by what you're saying, but I also don't want pointless tweets clogging up my notifications, you know, like I want to use Twitter to have debates and correct misinformation and spread, you know, truth that I'm reading. I mean, I don't follow mainstream media other than to see what the narrative they're cooking up is, you know?
Yeah.
And Fox does it too. The mainstream media does that on both sides. But there's a lot of smaller publications like Zero Hedge or, you know, the conservative Treehouse. I know how it sounds, but you know, the guy's a conservative, but the conservative treehouse.com. Like if you want to find out all this, all that FISA stuff that the FBI did that they admitted was all freaking bad stuff and fake and totally corrupt. He just breaks it down to like the most, just every little thing that you know, the establishment did to try to stop Trump, like every little detail. It's awesome. So I like to go to little smaller, like I like to go to sites where it's not controlled by people with billions of dollars. Like it's not controlled by the same people who control multinational corporations. Like, why would you listen to those people?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're not going to tell you the truth, dude. You know, it's like Trump has a higher approval rating than our media. People need to know that. Like Trump's, like the 49% who love Trump, they believe everything he says, and there isn't even 40% of the public trust the media themselves. Like it's like in the 30s, mid-30s, when they're asked for their approval rating or their truthfulness rating or whatever, Trump is like 10 points higher, you know, 15 points higher. So that should probably scare a lot of liberals, you know, because you know you got the president who you say lies all the time. And more people believe him than the media, which also lies all the time.
Yeah, no, the media, that's definitely something I didn't expect you to say, that you kind of seem to have a grasp on, like, well, Fox News, CNN, they're both the same garbage.
It's just the common sense of who funds them, gives them the, a lot of, like, Washington Post, like, Jeff Bezos didn't buy the Washington Post to make money. He bought the Washington Post to sway the public so he can do what he wants with his billions of dollars. Come on.
Yeah, that I didn't expect you to say that. So that's actually kind of somewhat refreshing. But you seem kind of like one of those guys that would be into, you know, finding out. I don't want to say like the truth, but you kind of understand that, you know, media and whatnot is controlled by advertising, like, dollars and clicks and what sells headlines. So
yeah, you know, I don't even know if it's so. It's like what the owners of these companies want, you know, do they want profitability or they just want to use it to bury Trump or whatever? Because Trump is bad for multinational corporations who want to do free trade deals with poor countries with no limits and no tariffs and no nothing, so they can make ever cheaper stuff to sell to us. And so we lose more and more jobs in the process because they're all being done in the poor country. Like what Trump's doing is putting those tariffs on and say, we're going to renegotiate these deals in the favor of the American worker, which he did with the new NAFTA stuff. And it's like, people are like, it's the same as NAFTA. It's like, no, it's not. It's like a much higher percentage of vehicles and a bunch of other manufactured goods have to now be made in America. And also, Mexican producers have to pay their Mexican workers much more so that it's not undercutting American and Canadian workers who are about the same. Like America, US and Canada, we're pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Like US and UK or US and Germany. It's like, if you do trade deals with those countries, there's no like rich countries, middle class jobs going to the poor country. You know, you're not going to have that
right.
If you do more with countries that are more like you. So that's what these multinational corporations want to do. They want to find ever cheaper sources of labor, you know, and your government cannot just simply allow that. And like, it just screws the average mm-hmm. worker. When we started the United States in 1776, for the first 40, 50 years, it was all tariffs. That's what the government ran on.
Yeah.
And it helped our exporters, it helped our jobs here, and at the same time funded the government. There wasn't even an income tax until 1913. You know?
Yeah. We could get crazy. Lost in the political oh, yeah. thing. We could go back and forth on that all day long. I don't think our listener, I mean, personally, me and you could definitely have that conversation. I don't know if it's the content the listeners want to have. So
nah, you watch Zeitgeist.
Yeah, for that? Sure. I'm all into
everybody this. Should watch that. Yeah. You know, it does a great job of explaining a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I was one of the guys before we end this little bit of the interview. I was one of those guys that thought 9/11 was 9/11 face value, and I was against the Loose Change movie. I don't know if you remember seeing that movie or if you've heard of that.
Yeah, no, I think I've seen it.
But eventually I came around to that, you know, to that thought process and been like, you know, that makes more sense.
Just that saying where there's a will, there's a way, you know, so, and there's some evil people in this world, you know?
I can agree to that.
People that just... You know, it, the way I look at it is there's love and then there's power/control, you know? And so the people who didn't get love as a child, they want power and control, you know? And so the more you want power and control, the less you can really love, you know? And so, and the less you really care to have power and control over others, the more you can just totally love on people, you know? So it's like a seesaw, you know? The more the less love you're getting from the world, the more you want to control the world.
I get you.
Yeah? Yeah, you see that all the time with people in power. You know?
So let's. I'm going to go ahead and just switch back over to the topic at hand for the most part.
Yeah, man.
So, do you listen to any of those kind of bands that have kind of like come at you as far as like, let's say, like Trivium or whether it be Trivium, Power Trip? I know you got into it with
no.
Dance Gavin Dance and Attila and all those other bands too. Whatever we want to call Warped Tour or Metalcore Twitter.
Attila's lyrics are like Lil Wayne's lyrics or something. It's like a rapper's lyrics, you know? It's like, I got money, cash, chicks, hoes.
So you checked it out at least.
I didn't expect his lyric. I didn't expect a metalcore band to sing about like stuff like that, you know?
You know, weirdly enough, Franz, or Chris is the lead singer of Attila. He was our first podcast guest and,
Oh, cool.
I honestly wasn't too familiar with, I mean, I knew who they were. It's not something I don't listen to on a regular basis, but he was actually a pretty interesting person to have on the podcast.
Oh, he seems like he's got a ton of energy. Like he needs to put that energy somewhere. Yeah. I saw his Twitter, like, you know, just checking out the stuff, his little videos and stuff. I'm like, that guy's entertaining.
Well, you, can, You can subscribe to his you can subscribe to his OnlyFans if you'd like. He does that too.
Yeah, he lives for his fans. It seems that it's cool.
So you don't normally listen to I guess like the metalcore genre for the most part.
I mean it's like you know, like it seems like this whole it's like hardcore mixed with like pop punk, I feel like. And then like that was the sound, like the singer's voice is a higher pitch, but like frequency that cuts through. It's not like a big thick, you know, voice like a Chris Cornell or like, you know, it's mm-hmm. more of like this high, it's like almost like this formula that the Warped Tour bands were, you know? And I couldn't really distinguish like too much difference. Like if you look at System of a Down, they're way different than, you know, Five Finger Death Punch. And then they're way different than Korn. You know, I mean, I guess, but that's the stuff I grew up listening to.
Right. So maybe I mean, I'm biased. Same.
I'm biased towards that, right? So
I
never got into it too much. The Warped Tour stuff and metal either. I mean, you know, that's like I went through a Slayer phase. You know, I love Metallica. I mean, it's super super melodic and super great songwriting all over the place. But Slayer. You know, and a lot of people like metal, so yeah, you know, I never got too into that. You know, I was like, some of the songs I could appreciate, but, you know, that style of metal, I'm more about the songs, you know, like the Metallica of the Black Album, my favorite, mm-hmm. when a lot of people who are like, you know, super metal guitar player people, like, they're like, that album sucks, you know, and I'm like, well, the songs are amazing. So it's, I just look at music much differently. Like, I'm not into like, oh, look how many kick drum hits I can put in one bar, you know, or look how fast I can play the guitar, how many notes I can play in the smallest amount of time. Like I don't care about the gymnastics crap at all. So I don't listen to music and be like, I you know, listen to music as if it's like classical music, this metal, it's like so mathematical, blah blah blah. That's not how I look at music, you know.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a vocal, a beat, and a melody.
I think being a singer, though, you also are being a vocalist. I don't want to say singer, just a vocalist, because you don't just sing, you do other things too. But I think being the vocalist, you also tend to try to find melody and stuff like that, more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, if I was just singing or just screaming, yeah, I'd probably want more rhythmic diversity or something so that I wouldn't get bored with it, you know, mm-hmm. for sure.
So are there any like metalcore bands? You said System of a Down. I mean, System of a Down technically would be like, I kind of feel they're a little bit of an anomaly to where like, they're new metal, but they also have like a hardcore / metal vibe to it too. I think a lot of like Toxicity, you could see like early new metal / metalcore nuances. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Disturbed and System of a Down would be pretty, you know, in the same, some people could be like, they sound similar, but the vocalists way different, mm-hmm. you know, from one vocalist to the next guy, you know, the David Draiman versus Serj, like two completely different personalities and two different sounding singers, you know, where I don't see that distinction as much, in the metalcore thing, like Chester from Linkin Park, his voice was amazing, different and just powerful, but way different than Serj. Way different than Jonathan Davis from Korn, you know, like, I just feel like that era, that late 90s stuff that I grew up, it was just, and Chino from Deftones, like, everybody, all those singers have such different voices, I feel like, compared to all the singers of the Warped Tour scene.
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple, like, Slayer and Metallica and stuff like that, not necessarily, and again, I'm not a big Slayer fan either, so I understand.
Pantera, I saw Pantera when I was, like, 12, my aunt took me, and the riffs, Dimebag Darrell's riffs are just so powerful. Like it's not like so fast, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like groove, such groove in it, and just such the riffs are just so you can digest them easily, but they're still amazing. They're still like really cool. Like the first few Tool albums was like that, you know, mm-hmm. just like really groove riffs, you know, like what White Zombie brought to the table when they came in there. It wasn't just metal, like it was like, you know, like it was bouncy, you know,
it
incorporated hip hop. So I guess that's, I mean, new metal is just metal with a hip hop beat, you know, a hip hop vibe as far as bobbing your head kind of thing.
Yeah. Right? You're early. You guys as a band Trapped, you guys had a little stint where you guys did a little like rap rock thing too, right? In the early days before Headstone.
Oh man.
And stuff?
We were, our little scene, you know, it was Rage Against the Machine was big at that time, and it was late, you know, it was like 97, 98, 99.
Yeah, because you guys were a band for a while before Headstrong even came out.
I watched Papa Roach the year before we started Trap, and I was like, that's so cool. So, yeah, I mean, we did rapping the verses and singing the chorus thing. And then after, like, an album of that, we were just trying to find our sound, you know. When we first started, there was plenty of rap stuff that I was doing. And then we just kind of molded into just a melodic rock band. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing headstrong is new metal is just just the jit, you know, just because we go jit, like, you know, the verses are
the
not
chug, yeah.
metal or in any way. It's just like, you know, it's very kind of soft, the clean part in the verses and that B chorus that comes after the headstrong part is just, it's just not metal in any way. So I just feel like we're just a melodic hard rock band. Really focuses on songs.
Yeah? Well, yeah, and songwriting is something that some genres, not all genres, but some genres do, you know, look past. They don't necessarily think songwriting is that big of a thing, but, you know, to stay, I don't want to say relevant, but to stay lasting, I think songwriting is the thing that separates every, you know, good and bad band for sure. Especially with the internet and the influx of bands that are available for the casual listener to listen to. I think the longevity depends on your songwriting ability.
I think all those all the new teenage stuff that, like, instead of a Warped Tour, they're going to be into that music that's like that Black Bear guy. Have you heard that? Black Bear?
Yeah.
You know, that bummer anthem, the whatever hot girl bummer anthem song that he had. Like, if that's going to be the new Warped Tour metalcore.
I mean, it's definitely, I will say this, it's definitely Warped Tour. I'm just talking about Warped Tour in the late stages of it. It definitely tried to grab other crowds. They started doing pop music. They started doing dubstep. They started doing all sorts of other stuff, you know. But they were a punk. Like a punk hardcore festival for the first.
Oh, dude, I went to it when I was 15. I saw it was Deftones and NoFX that headlined.
Yeah, and you guys were NoFX.
That's when it wasn't Warped Tour, quote unquote.
Weren't you guys a NoFX cover band in the very beginning?
No, our bass player played in a band called Nothing Substantial, and they weren't a cover band. They were like a good, pretty good punk band actually. He would have been like 12, 13 when he was in that band, you know. And for even, we didn't start till me and him were 16. So, yeah, he was like 13, 14, 15. And even the first year of Trapped, he was still in Nothing Substantial. And I'm sure they did some NoFX covers here and there, but they were original band.
Okay. The Wikipedia says, you know, so.
Yeah.
But anyone can edit that.
But you know who can't edit that? The actual guys in the band.
Oh, you can't?
Because we're too close to the source.
Oh, wow. I didn't
How
know that.
How stupid is that?
Have you tried to edit the Wikipedia page?
I can't edit it. Yeah,
I would assume in the last couple weeks, it's definitely had an influx of, like, things being edited on it.
Well, hopefully the moderators are not, also against this. You know?
Do you think?
But whatever. I wouldn't care if they were.
Do you think that this recent Hoopla has done more positive or more negative for the band?
Anybody wants to know what happens if you come out with supporting Trump and all that, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TRAPT, Trapped, and just watch look at the comments and all the likes and the loves on our live stream we did last night. And it just shows that be yourself. Speak your mind, you know, whatever you have to say, make sure it's just from the heart and you can't go wrong.
What about, do you ever worry about maybe chastising people that don't see the same way you do politically and or like?
Well, I say, look, I don't care if you hate Trump, you know, I don't care. That's totally fine. Like, I'm not going to say don't listen to Trapped's music, but if you are going to go, oh, I can't do this band anymore, they like Trump, then I don't want you as a fan in the first place. You're intolerant in the way that is not conducive to a country that is going to get along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. So,
intolerance. I'm not into that. You know? Personally, like, I have no problem with what other people believe. That's fine.
I'm not personally, like I said, I'm not waving a flag here that says Trump forever, and I'm not waving a flag that says fuck Trump either. So, you know, your political beliefs or your religious beliefs or whatever your beliefs are, they're your beliefs, and I'm me. And
it should have nothing to do with music. Yeah. It should have nothing to do with what you feel. Like, dude, like Rage Against Machine or Audioslave, like those guys are totally don't believe what I believe. But right. I'm not gonna not listen to Audioslave or not listen to Rage Against Machine. I'm not gonna like have their personal beliefs get in the way of what I feel about the music they created at all. So if people are like that towards me, go ahead.
Are you finding
that get lost?
Are you finding there's people within your community as far as like your band's community, not like fans, but like other musicians and whatnot? Have they reached out to you about this particular situation, or is there a negative blowback from bands?
Bands or fans?
Bands. Other bands, other artists.
Bands in our genre and stuff, like the bands we did Make America Rock Again with or Mudfest with, no one has a negative thing to say. If anything, at the shows, they're high-fiving me. You know, it's awesome that you're out there saying what you want to say. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they agree with it or not, you know, it's like, you know, everybody has something to say, has something that they believe in. And so many people are discouraged from saying what they want to say because it's taboo, or it's like somehow the mainstream press said it's not to be talked about. So I just think this is a new age where the mainstream press has lost so much credibility. And that's kind of dangerous when you have a situation like a pandemic, like a virus pandemic, when half the country thinks that the media is full of it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a dangerous situation. So hopefully they do, you know, do something about that. But like that whole thing with, you know, Trump, they're saying, oh, Trump called all Mexicans rapists. And it's like, he said specifically, Mexico's not saying their best. You know, they're bringing crime. They're rapists. But some, I assume, are good people, you know? And they didn't add that little last part there. It's like he specifically was talking about the border and who comes across that border, not the Mexicans in Mexico or the Mexicans doing their thing in Mexico or the Mexicans in the United States have been here for a long time or, you know, or got in here legally or whatever. He's not talking about that at all. He's just talking about one particular situation, and the media just went, he said Mexicans are all rapists. That's so wrong. And it's like, just at least be honest about it. So it's just when people say 15,000 lies and stuff, it's like, you know, Trump hears something from one of his advisors and it's not maybe proven to be factual. He goes, oh, I heard this. It's not a lie. You know, it's like he probably hears stuff left and right. And so they'll spin anything into it. It's just a lie. It's like Bill Clinton, when he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That was a lie. That was a freaking lie. So I say to people, like, tell me something like that, that big of a lie that Trump said. And people can't come up with it.
So speaking of, we're talking about the recent situation with the coronavirus, COVID-19 and all that. Do you think that, You said earlier that he has done a great job or a decent job at with the pandemic or whatever you want to call it leading up. Do you really think that he has, as far as like just with his like downplaying on the media and stuff like that? You know,
well, no one should say anything prior to March, because when Trump said, all right, we're gonna have to close down from travel from Europe, we got a bunch of Americans who freaked out and said, oh, I have to get back to America right now. And they all came at the same time. It was like first or second week in March, you know? And now we're seeing that surge. Mm-hmm. So, and then the average time where people get infected, come across the virus, and then actually have to get hospitalized is like 2 weeks, 17 days or something like that, you know? And so now we're seeing that surge. So so basically the only way that we would have been able to stop what's happening right now is if we did not allow American citizens to come home.
Yeah.
And what would that, you know, I don't know, how would that be?
That doesn't go over well.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the one thing that happened that really gave us. So hopefully this surge doesn't get too bad. But like I said, we have that treatment. We're good. And all I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, if Trump is a horrible person and didn't handle this right and blah, 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 then what do you think Italians think of their leaders?
Yeah, that's true.
Italy has a 10% death rate because this thing hit them and they were not prepared for it in any way. And their healthcare system was just not, was inadequate. And so it's like the U.S. had like a 2 or 3 week warning that could happen to us. So in 2 weeks is a good amount of time to prepare for a surge. And we did get to prepare for that. And that's why we're going to have 1 or 2% death rate and not 10%, you know, and hopefully we can get that down to, you know, point something percent.
All right.
So, I mean, it's all about deaths, right? I mean, you know, it's like we got to build immunity to this thing anyways, you know. And so basically you just compare Trump's thing with Spain, Italy, France, UK is doing way worse. And people go, we have the most cases. And
we have the most people, too.
We have 330 million people. So come on, guys. Like, do math. Do your math. And don't give the United States a bad name educationally.
I also think that Italy had more elderly people, and they're more family oriented than we are necessarily.
Yeah.
So, you know, their elderly got sick a lot faster, I think, and they just again weren't prepared for it. So I think their death toll is a little.
But the UK is getting freaking nailed. They got like a 10% death rate right now too. It's bad.
Yeah.
So UK was not ready either. So. Well, you know what? It'll be great if if we end up with, you know, the same or less deaths than even the H1N1. I think that would be telling all Americans that you did a good job trying to push the curve down the road and not have it all hit at the same time. And then Americans can feel good about themselves that we went through some short-term pain. You know, let's not go long-term and be stupid.
Yeah.
But for a good cause. And I think that kind of like, rallies the American spirit, like when everyone kind of comes together to do a common goal. It's like we revitalize the connection we have with each other, I think. Yeah.
What do you think about the comments that certain states, man, this is getting fine. This is getting political, obviously, but fuck it. What do you think about the certain states that claim that they're not, you know, I don't know, kissing Trump's butt enough and they're not getting the ventilators or the equipment that they claim to be being sent or whatnot because they oppose the president more?
I just think it's just bullshit political spin and pointing the fingers at everyone but themselves kind of crap. Governors have to take more of it's like Trump can't hold all 330 million of our hands. You know, it's like we have to have governors that also do stuff like Cuomo did not order $500 million in ventilators when it was said that this thing kind of thing could happen. And when they told him in 2015, he decided not to spend 0.5% of the budget on that stuff just to have them in case. So he's to blame just like, you know, anyone else who's in charge of something that had the authority to buy these things and didn't do it. So, you know, people need to stop pointing fingers at something when Trump, as soon as China said, yep, this is a real thing, he closed down China. Closed down travel from China, and our press said he was racist for that. So, you know, he was damned if he does, he was damned if he don't with the mainstream press.
Yeah, I think that's in anybody for the most
part. And then people who, those 30-something percent who believe the media are completely brainwashed by the media. I mean, there's no free thought, but they feel part of it. They feel part of that community and against Trump, never Trump stuff. You know, it's just something for them to feel important and a part of something. But it's like we should be Americans, not – you know, just this small group against that small group.
Yeah. So are you, so you're obviously, you think it's more dangerous than the flu is in general, right? Yep. You're not, do you think it is, I don't want to say or quote unquote a conspiracy, but you do think that this current pandemic is more than a flu?
Oh yeah. I mean, the flu doesn't kill people like this. That's fast. So I mean, and this thing is so damn contagious. It's crazy. So, you know, I'm in agreement that, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, we're shutting it down and it's going to cost a lot. And hopefully we can weather that small time, you know, any more than that. And people get, you know, their spirits will just get crushed. You know, if you can't live your life, I don't know how it's like solitary confinement. You know, people
go crazy
in that environment, you know? So I have to be worried about the mental problems that could occur. But I think we're doing what we need to do. So I'm happy about that. I think that it's a proper response. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
yeah.
I think what we're doing is the right thing.
The last kind of like a little political fucking question that I'm going to ask you, you seem to have the same kind of mentality of like the one world, not one world. I don't want to say one world, but like, you know, everyone come together, everyone be like this, everyone love each other, everyone support each other. I find it weird that you're kind of like anti-Bernie slash and going after like the Bernie hashtag Bernie Bros. But you know, it seems like you would be more with what you're saying. It seems like you might align with those kind of Bernie.
Topics. I'm just somebody who is sensitive. So if people come after me or my band or stuff that's important to me or my ideals, whatever, I'm gonna go after you. But I'm the first guy who wants to have everybody be unified and all be Americans. That's why I always say, like, you know, people who are into Trump and what he's trying to do for the country, it's people of all races, religions, orientations. So it sucks when, you know, you got a gay dude who likes Trump, and then the gay community lashes out at him, like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're whatever name they can think of, or a black guy who's really into Trump. It's just, he's wearing the hat. He's doing the whole thing. He's coming to the rallies. And they're like, oh, you're a traitor to your own people and stuff. And that's racism right there. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think that go with the movement that, you know, is truly has everybody, you know, it's like it really does. So all different, like I said, races, religions, orientations are in that Trump movement. So I don't think you can go wrong if you're part of something that's part of everything. So I think the stuff that the media says is racist or xenophobic and this and that, it's just stuff that we need to do to have borders and know who's in the country, who's not, and make sure that citizens are taken care of before non-citizens, or, you know, citizens who are homeless or veterans who are homeless. And until we have that stuff dealt with, we shouldn't be giving our money to people who aren't from or don't have citizenship, you know, or the rights to citizen, what citizens have, you know. So I don't know why that's xenophobic or racist, you know, to have the United States not be the place where everyone can come and change their lives for the better. It's like, we can't just have one country where that occurs. It's like,
well, controversy sells. Make that,
yeah.
Controversy sells. So, I mean, it's an easy target. Obviously he's an easy target. Any of his stuff is an easy target, and vice versa for other parties as well. So it doesn't necessarily matter that it's Trump, but obviously it's an easy target. You have a couple more minutes. I know we're going a little longer than I thought. So I have a couple more questions, mainly based on like Trapped and stuff like that. So we can just knock these out, and then, I can let you go. I'm going to finish having my beer. I'm having a, you know, Friday beer. It's 4 o'clock here. So, How sick are you of being called headstrong, especially in this particular?
Oh, I don't. Like I said, like I'm very proud of the song. It's given us a great career. I like the messaging in that song. I totally live up to it myself. Not even trying. Sometimes, you know, it can be unfortunate. But I don't care. I mean, call me whatever you want, but. The people who come and watch us do acoustic shows and like real hardcore fans that, you know every lyric to every song. We have so many fans like that, that I don't care what some person who's only heard one song thinks, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, but I will defend the band. I will say, now here's the real stats on the band. In case you're wondering, you're not going to tell me the deal. I'll let you know what the deal is. I have no problem defending the band like that, like I said. So, but other than that, I want to use Twitter as something where I can be involved in discussions and, you know, moving the country forward or being part of a movement where we're moving forward and we're empowering people. And that's what I'm about, empowering people and, you know, helping them realize that they can do anything they want. There's no secret code or secret law that says that you need to conform to a group, you know, and just be a part of an echo chamber. So I want to push back against that. We have plenty of songs about that topic as well. You know, it's not like we're
where our music is completely different from the things that I'm saying and the things I'm trying to push, you know?
This isn't new to your fan base, basically.
No, no. I'm the guy, in 2014, I did a post on Michael Brown. I was like, this is not the poster child of cops going after black men in America. The guy grabbed it for the gun. The guy, you know, it was like the cop had was justified in shooting him. I mean, the guy had the residue on his hand, meaning he went after to grab the guy's gun, you know? So it was, you know, and I know there has been times where a cop went too far and he should be put in jail just like anyone else, you know? But that was not the, you know, people, and the hands up don't shoot. He never put his hands up. All the bullet holes show that he was charging after the guy. So it was just, that was the beginning of the media lying, just saying something and not really correcting the record, you know?
Speaking of Twitter, using Twitter, do the other bandmates in Trapped also align with what you're saying on there, or have they asked you to not tweet about it on that account?
No,
or?
I mean, they're probably like you are with politics. You know, they're kind of just neutral. They don't really, you know, have too much of an opinion on it. And it's like, if they wanted to use the Trapped Twitter to say, I just want to let you guys know I hate Trump, and they can do that. You know, I wouldn't say don't do that, but. Yeah. They're just not people who go and say fuck Trump or he's great. They like music and they like their lives, and they're just not as politically engaged as I would be, or, you know, socially engaged as I would be. And all I do is sit around and read. I like to research stuff and learn and gain knowledge and all that good stuff. So it's something that is a hobby for me, politics and economics and geopolitics, all that stuff, you know? So I love it, but they don't. Yeah, really partake in that.
They're not into that realm. I get it. I guess we'll do the last question here. Obviously, you guys have been touring for fucking forever. I mean, you guys have been a band since the late 90s. You guys are still a band up until this virus thing started popping off. So for those who are curious as to, like, can Trap make money without touring or playing shows? And, like, are you earning enough streaming and royalties and stuff?
Those 2.6 million, 2.5 million listeners on Pandora definitely help us do what we do. You know, we don't need a label. Our royalties make it so we're fully funded in any new music we want to put out. We're just very fortunate to be able to, you know, do what we love and not have to tour at all. So we can be selective on the shows we take, and we don't have to sit around and burn out markets and play the same city three times a year. You know, we don't have to do that stuff. So, I mean, at this point, we'll do a show, a big rock electric show, and then we'll probably a year later do an acoustic show. And so we don't try to play the same type of show more than once every couple of years, you know, or a year and a half, you know?
Yeah.
So we have the luxury to do that. And, it's awesome. And the streaming and streaming really helped us in all ways. It helped the touring, and 2013 is when, really we started using Facebook in a big way. And 2013 is when we got added to Pandora. And Spotify started in 2012 we did one of their first like singles they really pushed, called Bring It, you know, right when they came online in the U.S. towards the end of 2012, they really pushed our song. It was awesome. So we had, you know, we've gotten a lot of love from the streaming sites, and that is just, yeah, it's like just an amazing thing to be able to just, yeah, we don't have to tour if we don't want to, but we love it. So it's a great thing to do. And obviously, we try to do it not as much as we can because we don't get burnt out on it, you know? So we have that luxury where it's like every show we do, or we'll do like a week and a half of shows, or just maybe a weekend of shows. And we don't have to tour for 4 weeks straight, or even 3 weeks straight. So we kind of try to make it no more than 2 weeks on a bus, you know, and before we get to go home and hang out and stuff. So the 8 week tour stuff, that last time we had to do that was a long time ago. So it's great. We're real lucky.
Well, that's great, man. Chris, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your, I don't want to say busy day to day, because obviously I'm not that busy either.
The coronavirus schedule.
Yeah. But I definitely want to appreciate, I want to say I appreciate you coming on the podcast, even though, you know, because you had no idea what was going to happen or what we were going to go for.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man.
I will say this. I don't know if you're familiar with the website. There's definitely our visitors are, they have a mind of their own. So you may hear a little more on Twitter. I don't know, but, I appreciate you coming on. And again, I mean, I moonlight in the metalcore universe and the new metal universe and the rock band universe. I moonlight all over. So I just want to say, I know how hard it is to maintain a career for this long, and you guys have done that. So you're doing something, man. Right.
We're,
you know,
we're very happy.
I want to give you credit for that.
Yeah. Right on.
But
last night's stream was awesome.
Yeah. And, anything else you want to say before we kind of, stop recording here or anything like that to people that may have an opinion of you in our avenue that is probably a false opinion or that you want to clarify with them?
I'm pretty sure, I would say that people's main gripe, they're saying that I'm going after bands and I'm trying to talk shit about or bring down other bands. I didn't reach out to one person or band unprovoked without, I had no intention of starting anything with anyone, any bands. I'm on Twitter to debate and talk about real issues and ideals and concepts and all that stuff. But obviously I defend myself, and I'll probably just start blocking people who don't have anything to say other than you have one song or you suck or whatever. Most likely block those people. But anyone who wants to have a real conversation, I'm into that kind of stuff. So, I think that's what Twitter should be used for, a free speech platform where everyone gets to say what they want. Both sides, in a perfect world. And so hopefully that really, they stick with that and stay with Facebook and, any other social media platforms. And, hopefully we can all have dissertation that's free and open and have a good country. Hopefully this virus thing is what brings us together in the way that we need to be brought together.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on and, thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care, bud.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.